Hello, this is Clyde J. Kale, and welcome to the Old Time Radio Gems Podcast, featuring rare, unique radio programs from radio's golden past. Hello, this is Clyde J. Kale with a brief reminder. Mystery Play Internet Radio is listener-supported, so I encourage your monetary support with a donation today. Please visit www.mpir-otr.com and click on the donations page. A one-time donation of any amount will be greatly appreciated. Again, that's www.mpir-otr.com. And thank you for listening to Mystery Play Internet Radio.
The Union Oil Program, brought to you by the makers of 76 gasoline and Triton, the motor oil that changes ping
to purr.
Each Thursday evening, it is the pleasure of Union Oil Company to present the Simeon Orchestra and Choir, the rich voice of James Newell, and a dramatic sketch specially written by radio's two most talented writers, Forrest Barnes and True Boardman. But more of the play and players later, as conductor Simeon has a widely diversified program of music and song to appeal to the tastes of everyone. Claude Debussy has been likened to a subtle perfume, tantalizingly beautiful and shadowy. Born in France toward the end of the last century, Debussy led the Impressionists, luring them away from the Romantic school with his genius for simplicity. In his Reverie, which you are about to hear the 76 Orchestra play, you will find a haunting fragrance, a charm and grace typically Debussy. Like a silver stream, Debussy's reverie flows back into the past. But a beautiful melody, never to be forgotten, lingers on in the modern interpretation based on the original melody and called My Reverie. Love of freedom has always characterized the life of the West. The robust, hard life of the man who rides horse from sunup to sunset receives full expression as James Newell gives voice to the song of the open road.
What in the world could be so sweet as the thundering clatter of horse, the speed and the song of the open road? About tomorrow. Why ever worry about tomorrow? For tomorrow's another day. Let me love and then ride away. Life is short, they say, and maybe for me, so let me be free. I'm on the road to anywhere. Let me travel on with no more load and no more care, just like a vagabond. I'll let the blue sky above me cover my head. Why should I want a feather bed? So let me travel and sing my song on the road. The long, long road, the song of the open road.
I'm on the road to anywhere.
Let me travel on
with no more load and no more care,
just like a vagabond. I'll let the blue sky above me cover my head. Why should I want a feather bed? So let me travel and sing my song all the road, the long, long road, the song of the open road.
Modern drama advanced much as has modern music. The modern play is more concerned with presenting an impression rather than producing the effect of stark realism. Such is our play tonight, starring Cy Kendall as the captain and Jane Morgan as Mary, his wife, with Loreen Tuttle playing the fiancée, Elliot Lewis as Danny, Frederick Shields as Christian, and Lee Millar, the tavern keeper. The lights are low. The curtain is about to rise on another in our series of stories you never heard till now. Places for first act. Places for first act. Curtain! In the times when great masted ships sailed the seas in search of commerce, and salt-seasoned towns along the coast of Maine were mother ports to man and master of those ships, there lived a captain whose voice and soul were as deep-sounding as the ocean he sailed. Each day he sailed, his friends would come to wish him well. He was rich in friends, indeed.
Oh, Mary, rich in friends we are. And that's the wealth that counts. I've brought the treasures of China to the port of Boston. But there's more value in the smile of one good friend than all that cargo.
It eases the time for me, Abel, when you're at sea.
Oh, now you'd think you were still worrying about me after all these years. And we with a son here, 22, and sturdy as a keel.
It's not too easy, Abel, waiting and watching. You'll know how it feels, Laura, once you're married to our Danny and he ships off into all kinds of weather.
One gets used to it in time, I suppose.
Sorry I am that I'll not be here for the wedding, Laura. You know, I think they set ahead my sailing date just in purpose to thwart me.
I'd have soon it was another time. There's a storm in the wind.
My wife's a weatherman.
A storm, Mother Madsen? Well, there's no storm inside.
There's no wind even, Mother.
You wait, Danny. It'll come. Tomorrow, before sunset.
There's one in the wind. Have no fear. Mary here's been sensing them now for 30 years I know of. She's got a weather vane inside her somewhere. Yeah, there's no mistaking its predictions, God bless her.
There's a lot of sea captains that'd give their best compass for that sense.
But it's not comforting, me sitting at home here of an evening and knowing of a storm that might come crashing down on the captain's head, offshore someplace.
Have you heard from the company yet, Danny, about your berth?
No, but I will, Father. They promised me a berth on the next ship to sea.
They're men of their word. You'll get it. And a fine seaman you'll make, I'm thinking. With all the learning you've stored up in that college, you'll be starting right. With navigation, half learned.
Ah, but it's the sea that teaches you.
The land teaches, too, Danny.
There's Mother up to her old complaint. Been trying since long as I can remember to get me to move back inland to that farm we bought some years back. And me? Disappointing her every year with a new ship's contract.
Yeah, and each year waiting now seems longer.
I don't think the captain could really quit the sea.
There's an understanding lad for you. Danny knows. He's felt the sea in the air and the good booming of the mainsail.
I like it, Father. Nothing to compare anywhere.
There's the hour. Just time to make ship.
Your duffel's packed, Abel. Your Bible's on the sewing table.
Well, I'm not one for wasting time with long goodbyes. It's a short trick. Month at most.
It's a longer month here than where you'll be.
30 days is 30 days, Mary. Goodbye, and God be with you. And you, Laura, when I come back, you'll be my daughter, eh? I'll be proud to own you.
Oh.
Good luck to both of you. Goodbye, Danny.
I'm walking to the dock with you, Father.
Well, come along, then.
Take care in the storm, Abel.
I'll try to sail around it.
There's goodness in seafaring men, Mother Madsen, isn't there?
Yeah. They've big hearts, big enough for two loves. They're a woman and a lady out there. She's wild with them at times. It's when the North Fury comes that I fear her most. Storm out of the north that cleans the decks each year of too many good seafaring men.
Oh, they're far off yet. Somehow, I'm not afraid for Danny.
You've not waited for him when he's at sea.
He was unminded for a while whether to farm or follow the sea. He's torn twixt both. We've agreed that he'll put to sea for 3 years only.
Yeah, and then that's what the captain and me agreed. And it's been 30 now.
If Danny doesn't get the contract from the company, we plan to set up farming now.
Listen. Listen, Laura.
I don't hear anything.
But it's there. The storm sound. It's far off yet, the storm sound. But I hear it. I hear it.
Put your wheel hard over, quartermaster.
Aye, aye, sir.
Captain Madsen. Captain Hudson, the rudder's tearing away, sir.
Cut away the mast. Cut away the mast.
Too late, sir. She's going. Abandon ship. All hands, abandon ship.
here in the deep tavern this night after the storms. Like that some of them even do now. Greet him with a song, my hearties. A welcome to Davy Jones' locker.
As I was walking down Paradise Street, where rolls a man down, a pretty young damsel I chanced for a meet. Give me some time to blow the man down, says she to me.
Hi, hi, my laddie. Hey, here's the keeper of the deep tavern with the list. Well, we'll be greeting some old friends after the storm, eh, keeper?
It's a long list, Captain Christian, but wait till after the North Furies hit them. Then we'll be crowded to the anchor lockers.
The more the heartier.
Ah, the first of the new arrivals. Welcome, sir.
Oh, thank you. I'll be wanting a room and some good warm rum.
Oh, will you now? Will you, Captain Abel Madsen?
Why, Captain Christian.
Aye.
By the power of the good horn spoon, I'm glad to see you.
Are you? Dufflin, sit down here.
Captain Chris, there's something strange about you and me sitting talking this way. Why, it's been... Well, you've been...
Never mind about that. You'll be understanding soon enough. Just you be glad in your heart that Mary won't have to sit home with the ice of fear in her heart day after day while you're at sea.
Aye, she's a brave one.
Aye, braver than ever you thought on. We understand things here that you don't see back there.
Why, what do you mean, Christian?
I mean that it's merciful your voyaging is over. The terror it brought to Mary was a frightful thing. Her agony for your safety at sea.
I never knew that she...
No. You were too busy being a captain.
I beg your pardon, gentlemen. But you are...
Abel Madsen, captain of the Lady of Boston.
But you're not on the list.
He's not.
Hold hard there a minute. There's some mistake. There's no Madsen on this list. Let me see. No Madsen due for another 10 days. Aye, 10 days from the wreck of the Star of Plymouth. That's it. Madsen, Star of Plymouth.
Well, blow me down, Abel. You've got to go back.
What's that, Christian?
You've got to go back. You've got to go back.
I can't hear you, Chris.
A glass of hot rum will help a bit.
But you said Star of Plymouth. 10 days.
Here, drink this down, Abel. Drink it all down. Drink it. It's good, hot rum.
Drink it. It's good, hot rum, Abel. Here, drink this down. Drink it all down.
What? Where am I? Chris. Chris. Oh, Mary.
He's talking. Danny, he's talking.
Hello, Father. Gee, Captain.
We thought the deep tavern had got you this time.
Yeah.
The deep tavern. Yeah. I was...
You're a tough lobster, Father. We picked you up off the reef after the storm, more dead than alive, begging for a room and some hot rum.
The doctor says you'll be on your feet inside of 2 days now. You're hardy, he says so. Get some sleep, and we'll tell you all about it then.
Try to sleep, Mary. I've been a worry to you, haven't I, Mary?
No.
I think this time we'll move to our farm. Yeah. I'll give up the sea. We'll move to our farm. You have my word for it, Mary.
You'll hand me the paisley shawl, Laura. I'll just lay it across the top.
This is a quaint old trunk, Mother.
Yeah. Abel got it for me when we first decided to move to the farm. I don't know how many times I've packed it and unpacked it. Seems the moment I get the lid down, the captain comes bursting in with news that he's got to take a ship out.
Oh, this time you don't need to worry. He's promised to give up the sea. You've loved him a lot, haven't you?
More than I dare tell him.
Is Danny at all like he was at his age?
Just like him. Same funny smile. Lock of hair that won't stay put.
I'm beginning to hope that Danny won't get his berth. I want him always. And the sea is dangerous.
Don't ever tell him that. Men go proud over courting danger. They think it makes their women folk admire them. Now, when I set the lid down on the trunk, you sit on it so's I can turn the key.
All right.
Mary, I just come from the shipping office.
Yes, Abel.
I'm shipping anchor tonight, Mary.
You're going out again? But, Abel, you promised. It's only 10 days, Abel, since you...
Last trip. Word of honor.
Oh, you said that before.
Oh, but she's a fine boat. Brand new.
But the North Furies have begun.
Oh, the North Furies. They aren't due for another 3 weeks.
But they started 10 days ago when you were out...
Oh, now, Mary, there's a limit to guessing. The North Furies never came this early in all the times of shipping. Never have. Ah, this is naught but an offshore breeze.
Don't go, Abel. Please don't go.
You wouldn't want to see me stand by and see someone else take out the Star of Plymouth, would you?
Why? Well, that's the boat Danny had pinned his hopes on for his first berth.
Mother, I've got it. I've got my contract. Look at me. Danny Matson, mate of the Star of Plymouth, shipping anchor tonight.
Oh.
You're not shipping on the Star of Plymouth.
But, Father, I...
You're not sailing with me.
What?
I won't have any dry land sailor on my ship.
Are you skipper?
Yes. I won't have you on my ship.
You haven't the right to keep me off. I've got a contract.
I am captain, and contracts be hanged. I'll hire and fire whom I please. You, mate, I ain't dry behind the ears yet. All that school navigation may be all right for some skippers, but I want men on my decks.
Father, I've just come from the shipping office. I thought...
Never mind what you thought. I've just come from the shipping office, too, and I told them I wanted to take out the Star of Plymouth, and that's that. You go look somewhere else to try your oars. Yeah, have to be packing, Mary. Guess we'll have to use the old duffel. The new one got drowned. Don't take it so hard, boy.
Laura, will you walk down with me to Gabronson's? He'll be wanting a mate for his old ship, seeing he's not taking the Star of Plymouth.
Yeah, give him my regards, and don't let him brag about that old tub that he's got.
April, you've never spoken to the boy like that.
Yeah. He's got to get used to harsh words.
There's something you're holding back. There's a strangeness about this, Abel.
Oh, now, Mary, you're just talking again. I got to get moving. I've got to be on the Star of Plymouth. Time's pressing. Don't worry, Mary. Don't worry. It's not for long.
Abel, don't you want Danny to go to sea?
Well, the boy's choice must be his own, Mary.
But you know he'll go to farming if he doesn't get his berth, Abel.
Well, Mary, farming's good for a man, too.
Mm. There's a reason you have for not wanting him on the Star of Plymouth. Is there something you know that I don't know, Abel?
No, Mary. Nothing. Nothing except perhaps that the light of day on your soft hair is mighty pretty. And if I could take with me the glimpse of a smile from you, I'd not mind leaving so much.
You do mind, then?
The sea is lonely, Mary. There are times when all the sights and sounds make me think of you. Sometimes in the wind, when it's soft of an evening, I hear your voice. I see you sitting here and...
Has it always been that way?
Didn't you know? Oh, but you must. Else you wouldn't have sat home with the ice of fear in your heart.
But Abel, how did you...
Yeah, I'm making a hard thing of something so very simple as a goodbye. Yeah. Goodbye it is now, for I'm off. And you won't worry about the Furies. They're a long ways off.
No. I won't worry.
Oh, you're going, Father Matson?
I thought you were going with Danny.
I thought I'd stay and help Mother unpack.
Good girl. Well, goodbye then. Goodbye, Mary.
Goodbye, Abel.
sorry. Shall I help you unpack?
No. I'm not unpacking.
The window shutter. It's banging. The wind must have freshened.
Yes. I said it would.
Is it a storm?
The north furies have started.
Oh, but surely the captain won't sail. Surely he won't.
Yes, he'll sail. He'll sail. He's a brave man, Laura. A brave man.
We owe the great technical advances being made in our industries today to a corps of research engineers and chemists who are constantly extending the frontiers of our technical knowledge, making new discoveries, finding new ways to improve the machines and materials that have become a part of our daily existence. We have with us in the studio tonight Mr. D.E. Carr, research engineer of the Union Oil Company. For the past 9 years, Mr. Carr has specialized in lubricating oils and was one of the group of young scientists who developed Union Oil Company's new propane solvent process for refining motor oils. Mr. Carr will be with us regularly to answer our questions and yours about the ever-mysterious petroleum products we use in our automobiles and our homes. Welcome to our program, Mr. Carr.
Good evening, Mr. Graham.
Mr. Carr, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you.
I'd like to start right off with one question in particular. It's always puzzled me, and, well, I know it's puzzled some of our listeners. How is it possible for a motor oil to eliminate engine knocks?
Well, Mr. Graham, answering that question has been the object of thousands of tests by the Union Oil Research Department. And it's really not as complicated as it might seem. To begin with, we all know that carbon contributes to knocking. Furthermore, carbon is caused by the lubricating oil rather than the gasoline.
Oh, I see.
Now, all oils work up into the combustion chamber. Those which contain heavy or unstable compounds leave a thin film of sludgy coke. This film is literally roasted until it becomes hard carbon, which builds up until it causes knocking.
Well, then, why doesn't the combustion chamber eventually fill up with carbon?
Fortunately, Mr. Graham, carbon can burn. It is always burning away slowly. But with most oils, more carbon is being formed at the same time. The amount that will eventually build up depends on the relative rate of carbon formation and carbon burning. The rate of carbon formation in the case of an oil refined by the propane solvent process is exceptionally low.
Why is that?
The propane solvent process refines oil so completely that all the heavy or unstable carbon-forming compounds are eliminated.
Oh, I see.
When you put an oil of this type in a carbon-choked motor, the old carbon burns away much faster than new carbon can be deposited. After a period of time, your motor reaches a point where there is little or no carbon left in the combustion chamber.
Well, Mr. Carr, how long will this ordinarily take?
Our tests in the laboratory and on the road have shown that with Triton, this usually occurs after 2,000 or 3,000 miles of ordinary driving. By this time, the knocking is reduced or completely eliminated, and you have a ping-free motor.
Oh, in other words, you've changed ping to purr.
That's it exactly, Mr. Graham.
Thank you, Mr. Carr. Many contrasting factors make up the music of Spain. The remoteness of her countryside has kept intact her folk dances. The brightness of her flowers is reflected in the brilliance of her music. And added to this is the exotic pungency of the Moorish influence. Her dance rhythms are well known to us, and Harry Simeon has used them as a pattern in this impression of El Relicario.
Thank you.
But Spain has given us a new character, a new hero whose quaint devotion to country and love of flowers of the field provided the motivation for the second part of our Spanish fantasy.
Oh, there once lived a bull, a magnifico bull, in a pasture near old Barcelona. He would romp and he'd play through the flowers all day till he'd smell just like eau de cologne.
He was gentle and kind and his wool was refined,
which the rest of the bulls all resented.
For when he'd start to moo, in a moment or two, he'd have all the sick cows discontented.
Ferdinand, Ferdinand, the bull with the delicate ego. Ferdinand, Ferdinand, the heifers all call him amigo. Ferdinand, Ferdinand, he'd curtsy and greet them politely.
Oh, I say, he knew how to tango and dance the fandango.
But he never learned to fight.
Now there once lived a bee, see, a bad little bee, who was feeling so chock full of vigor that he got out of hand and he stung Ferdinand with his sharp little sting of a jigger.
Ferdinand was so hurt he was falling in the dirt.
When a bull picked up your chance to sight him.
Oh, that bull is terrifico. He's magnifico. Bring him to Madrid and I'll fight him.
The very next day, they took Ferdy away to fight the renowned picador.
Gentlemen, and it's a great day here at the arena. All the celebrities are present to see the greatest bull fight of the season. The Toreador is the greatest in all Spain, and the bull, well, I don't have to tell you about the bull. Everybody's excited. The picadors are down by the bullpen. Something seems to be doing down there. Yes, yes, there is. They're getting ready. That was the fanfare. Now they're opening the gate. Yes, they're opening the gate. That picador looks mighty jittery, but I don't blame him. Uh-oh, the gate's open. Yes, and there's the bull. He charges. He charges through the gate. Now he's pawing the ground. He charges across the arena, and he stops. He seems to see something down there. I can't see what it is. He's down. The bull's down. No, he isn't. He's up. No, no, he's down. Yes, he is. He seems to be smelling something. I can't tell what it is, but it looks like, yes, it is, a corsage of roses. The bull is smelling them. The picador's pleading with him to fight. But no, no, the bull just rolls his big brown eyes. A very touching sight, ladies and gentlemen.
Ferdinand, Ferdinand, he loved the aroma of flowers. Ferdinand, Ferdinand, he'd sell them for hours and hours with a rose to his nose. The study of nature would call him. He would sniff on completely. And so ends the tale of the bull, Ferdinand.
You'll be sure of these benefits with 76. Fast starting that protects your battery. High anti-knock that protects your motor. Long mileage that protects your purse. Get 76 tomorrow from your neighborhood dealer or any Union Oil service station. You can be sure with 76. So closes another Union Oil program. Next week at the same time, Union Oil Company will again present the 76 Orchestra and Choir under the direction of Harry Simeon, songs by James Newell, and another play in our series of Stories You Never Heard Till Now. This is Frank Graham saying good night in behalf of Union Oil Company. Columbia Broadcasting System.